the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, and I'm back with another weekly look at the world of non-league football. A little shorter this week due to last-minute availability issues, but we still celebrate the FA Cup and the magic that comes with this weekend's second qualifying round. To start us off, Phil Annette's at FA Cup Fact File is on hand with some stats, facts and insight into the round where the Step 2 sides enter the competition. Next up, it's Carl Withers, the joint manager at Binfield FC, recent beaten FA Vars finalist, now competing at Step 4 with a great unbeaten start to the league season, goals, clean sheets, a big trophy cup set win midweek, and now setting up for a visit of a Step 2 side this weekend in the FA Cup. Rounding off the show and the week's managerial merry-go-round woes is Matt Badcock, editor-at-large of the non-league paper. With big names falling and big names coming in, it does appear that the floodgates, for want of a better term, for managerial changes are well and truly open this season. With a preview of what's to come in the weekend's paper too, there's plenty to talk about and for you to listen to. So sit back, relax, and let's get matters underway. So it is the second qualifying round of the FA Cup this weekend. The Step 2 sides of the National North and National South join the competition this round, joining the 112 Step 3, Step 4, Step 5 clubs that have progressed from the last round. That makes 160 ties, if my maths is correct, I believe. A multitude of facts and stats, and there is only one man to turn to. It's our man in the know, our man on the go, and our man to open the show. Yes, it is a welcome back to the Non-League Football Show at FA Cup Fact File. Mr. Phil Annette. Welcome back, Phil.
Well, welcome back indeed. No, thank you for the welcome. Your maths are nearly right, my friend. 160 clubs, but 80 ties.
That's why I have you on, Phil. It's
keep you on your toes.
Of those 160 clubs, 16 clubs, I believe, are from Step 5, and they're going to be looking to grab the headlines, obviously. Many of them up against higher placed opposition. Four of them, I believe, up against Step 2 opposition, including the lowest ranked side.
Yeah, I mean, it's a massive opportunity for them, isn't it? The Step 5 clubs to face a National League side in the FA Cup. And you're right, the lowest ranked club based on league position is Fisher FC from the Southern Counties East League. And they are hosting Welling United. They're actually away, aren't they? At Welling United. So I get it wrong. So there you are.
It's a team effort.
So, yeah, they've got a big game at Welling United, and alongside Laverstock and Ford, who are also Step 5 club, they've got an away trip to Taunton Town. So I would say both of those clubs have got the most difficult task of the round. We've got Ashington from the Northern League and Lichfield City from the Midland Football League, who both host Step 2 sides, Bradford Park Avenue and Boston United, respectively, and they'll be up against it too, but at least with home advantage, they might think they've got a bit of a chance to cause the cup set of the round.
Yeah, and that was certainly my eye is going to be on the Ashington game. So, yeah, I know that Bradford Park Avenue having the greatest starts in National North this season, and Ashington also saw off Ashton United, who featured in our preview of last round as well. So it's sort of almost like our club to follow at the moment. And also, I remember a great trip up to Ashington. You know, a club with great pedigree as a football club, been around forever, and it would be great to see them go on an FA Cup run again this season. There's also one tie I see that was going to guarantee at least one Step 5 club through to the next round, which is always a good sign.
No, that's not quite right. It's the Step 5 clubs all started off in the extra premier round, and alongside 19 Step 4 clubs that are still standing. Okay. And it's one of those ties. It's actually the TV tie that's been chosen by the BBC, Walton and Hersham versus Chatham Town. So that means we're guaranteed at least one club that started their FA Cup campaign in the extra preliminary round still standing in the third quarter final.
The extra preliminary round, when Some people were still organising the trunks to take away with them on their summer holidays, and some clubs were still already participating in the FA Cup this season. You say that again, that's the red button game, BBC live coverage. That makes that a 12:30 p.m. kickoff on Saturday, which means that there's a good spread of FA Cup games that people can go and watch this season, this weekend, which is always a good sign as well, Phil.
Well, it is, because they've got a game on Sunday afternoon, and there's a lunchtime game, which if you're quick, you can get from there to Met Police for their 3 p.m. kickoff in the afternoon, if you are so inclined. And then there's one game on Friday night, which is at Chester United, and quite unusual circumstances for why that's being played on Friday night.
And do you want to reveal those for us, Phil?
Well, it's because apparently the ground had been booked for Saturday afternoon by no other than Alex Horn of Taskmaster fame, who is launching a book. And him being a big Chester United fan, I think he uses their ground quite a lot for tasks in the programme. And he's launching his book that day, so they've had to move the game. Probably didn't expect to have a game that day, so... Friday night football at the Meadow for Chester United versus Blackmore Town, and that's where you'll find me this weekend.
Friday night football, always a good thing, and always a good thing to hear another excuse for a game to be moved from a 3 p.m. kickoff. It's been a much debate in recent weeks. Maybe the end of 3 p.m. Saturday kickoffs if more TV shows want to start using non-league grounds. But looking at this season's competition as well, we've still got two debutants that came into this competition, their first FA Cup competition. Still two of those left playing this weekend.
Yes, we do. So two in their first time. So we've got Bury AFC, who have made it as far as the second qualifying round. Still got a long way to go to match their other club in Bury, who obviously passed winners of the competition. And we also have Shefford Town and Campton, who have made it as far as well in their debut campaign. And they've already gone further than the previous Shefford Town club that competed in the FA Cup in the 1950s. So both of those will be hoping to keep their campaigns going on Saturday night.
We love a little bit of history. We love a little bit of rivalry as well. Looking at your preview for this round, I see 28 of the ties are reruns of matches played before. So we had two sides that have met in the FA Cup before. And there's always one club for whom this probably means a little bit more. And I think this time it's for Spennymoor Town.
It is indeed, yeah. I was quite surprised when I learned that they had played their opponent Clitheroe before in the FA Cup, and it was about 15 years ago, but the result of that game was an 8-2 victory for Clitheroe. So there's a big incentive there for Spennymoor Town to try and put that result behind them and get themselves into the next round of the competition.
Yeah, there'll be celebrations are plenty. I'm sure the celebrations are plenty anyway in Spennymoor Town most Saturday evenings, but I'm sure this weekend, if they put that one behind them. Any particular sign to watch? I see Waltham Abbey are the leading scorers in the competition at the moment, 14 goals so far this season.
Yeah, they're putting the goals in. They've scored 14 at the top of the list of those clubs that are still in the competition. And also involved in a game where the winner of the match will set or equal an FA Cup record. So they're up against Brighton Sea Region. And there's a couple of other matches where the clubs or the game will guarantee that one of the clubs will be celebrating a record run in the competition. You've got Hanley Town, who are up against Atherstone Town Community. And you've also got Phoenix Sports, who are taking on Sevenoaks Town. So somebody somewhere will be celebrating new records in the FA Cup.
Yeah, history being made. I love the fact that you've compiled so many stats, even as the ties are getting fewer and fewer. Every round, you're able to create a bundle of stats and stuff to keep us entertained. What's the stat that's got you most excited about this round, or maybe the results of last round?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things I love about the FA Cup, is that every round does produce its own stories. And, you know, you can look at Sheringham FC, who are competing in the FA Cup for the first time in over 60 years, and they've already matched their best run in the competition, and they did so following a 1-0 victory over Lowestoft Town. And the significance of that win was that every other time they'd faced Lowestoft in the competition, 8 times in total, they've been knocked out by them. So definitely a momentous win there for Sheringham. And they'll be keen to get another victory this weekend and set a new standard for the club.
Yeah, I Sheringham and Lowestoft not too far apart. I wonder if there was an office somewhere where suddenly that Sheringham Town fan suddenly had his moment at the water cooler. Or answers on a postcard. Please do get in contact if you were that Sheringham Town fan and you've got more stories to tell. You've mentioned we've got Friday night football, plenty of football to see this weekend. Are you going to take in just the sole game this year, this weekend, or are you hoping to get in a couple more?
Well, no, unfortunately for me, Friday night is my only opportunity, so I'm thankful for that game being moved, because I have a family event, long-standing family event on Saturday that I need to go to. So I'm grateful for the chance to actually get to watch a game this weekend. It will be my, I think, 13th FA Cup tie this season, so I'm keeping those numbers up and looking forward to some more replays in the following week.
Yeah, and hopefully, journalists across the globe who will be listening to this maybe in January, when they suddenly realise that the FA Cup has been well underway for a long while, that's Phil Innes has attended more games than most of those teams that go on to win the FA Cup will even take part in this season. That's what the FA Cup's about.
Well, it is for me, yeah. I mean, as we all know, I love the competition. I really enjoy it at this stage and in the early stages, and enjoy meeting and seeing the clubs getting involved and being part of what is a competition's history each season. And I still enjoy it as much when you get to the third round as I do now.
And we still enjoy everything that you do for us as well, Phil. Just remind people where they can read your preview, keep up to date with all your stats and facts, and get in contact with you.
Yeah, the best way to do that is to follow me on Twitter at FA Cup Fact File, and that'll provide you with links to see my previews of every round and my reviews of the rounds as they happen.
Well, thanks as ever, Phil, for joining us on the Non-League Football Show, and we'll speak to you again very soon.
Cheers, Tim. Thanks so much.
So, the FA Cup for the Step 2 sides gets underway this week, and my next guest is manager at a Step 4 club, entertaining a club at Step 2. With all the drama that goes with that, he's no stranger to Cup success. We first met him and his partner in crime, joint manager, 2 seasons ago on their run in the FA Vars final. Hoping to recreate some of that similar magic in this season's FA Cup, is joint manager at Binford FC, Mr. Carl Withers. Welcome back, Carl.
How are we doing, Tim? You well?
I'm good. It sounds like a busy training session in the background there.
Yeah, they're working, they're being put through their paces currently at the minute. Just a little light sort of passing through at the minute, just to get them moving and their heart rate going. But yeah, no, there's a real buzz about the group at the minute, and yeah, really excited for Saturday.
Yeah, it's good to get you back on, and I sort of wanted to start with, football's a funny old thing. After such a great and dramatic run, you lost that FA Vars final 3-2 to Warrington Rylands. This week... Rylands have parted ways with manager Dave McNabb, who won them the Vars and loads of promotions. Their hat-trick hero for them on that day, Elliot Nevitt, is a regular starter in Mickey Mellon's Tranmere Rovers side. And you're preparing for an FA Cup second qualifying round tie, sitting second in your table at Step 4.
I know, it's a mad couple of weeks, I think, I saw in the week that Dave McNabb had obviously left Warren and Rylands. I don't know if he's obviously got another bigger job or what, but in terms of us, it's been a really good start. The seasons, we've recruited well, and we've brought sort of personality bodies in that have really, really gelled, and it's been a real positive, strong start. We've won, I think we've kept 5 clean sheets on the bounce, and yeah, the club is buoyant at the minute. And why not? We're in the trophy still, we're in the FA Cup and the second in the league, What's there not to be happy about, I suppose, eh?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the clean sheets there. You've only 4 games in the season, but you've won 3 of them, drawn 1 of them. You've scored 8 goals, conceded just 1 in those four games. And you've always, that FA Vars run, you were known for the camaraderie and the spirit amongst the dressing room. It looks like you brought in new players that have just added to that.
Absolutely. You know, we I've said it in a few interviews, in the close season. It was our first sort of time in this league, and we learned a lot from it, and the biggest thing for us was our depth in the squad. It was injuries and holidays with COVID and everything, it really tested us. So we went out and we looked at what we needed, and a big thing for us is personalities, as you just said, that run that we had in the Vars, the camaraderie that we built and put us in good stead and got us over the line in a few games. We've just carried that on here, and there's been the lads that have come in have bought into what we're about and what we're trying to do, and they've really gelled with the other lads, and it couldn't have gone any better from us. It's other than the one all draw with Chertsey, which on reflection was a fair result. It's pretty much gone perfect, which I don't like to say, but it's hard not to.
Yeah, the one all draw with Chertsey Town, who are third in the table as well. So a decent result all round. But also you just glossed over that you are winning the trophy, a 4-0 away win in the trophy at Marlow midweek. That's a great form to take into an FA Cup tie against opposition two levels above you this weekend.
No, it really is. I mean, that performance on Tuesday was close to perfect, and I said it in another interview. The lads, the resilience that we showed in the game, because Marlow are no mugs, and it's a tough place to go, and we knew what was needed to win the game. And I suppose I'd be lying if I said I expected a 4-0 win, but we were rampant, we were clinical, we were resilient, we defended like lions, and we run our socks off and got our just rewards. And it's another round that we get through to, and I think we're playing Tame away, which we know them well. We played them in pre-season and came away with a win, but that was a friendly, so it'll be a completely different story when we go there a week Saturday, but one we look forward to.
And just like that FA Vars run, again, big games coming thick and fast. So Tunbridge Angels, your visitors this weekend in the FA Cup. They're under new management in the summer. Much experienced Jay Saunders coming in, and they've had a decent start to the season themselves so far. I think eight games in, four wins under their belt. Do you prepare for them, or do you prepare your team?
I think you'd be mad not to try and find something out about them, whether that might be set pieces or something little, but we've always stayed the same and true to ourselves, and we've always worried about ourselves and worried about our group and making sure that, everyone knows their job. So, look, we've done a little bit of homework. We know a little bit about them because obviously Slough in the same league and Bates and Unders are good friends of ours. So, but other than that, we really, it'll be just who fancies it the most on the day, and with cup upsets, hopefully we're on the right end of it.
Yeah, and you've obviously got great FA Vars stories to tell nowadays. What about any FA Cup stories to inspire the dressing room with games like this?
Sadly, not for me, but I think the Vars run itself, and we've got a lot of that group still here, I'm very quick to remind them. It's massive for the club in terms of the financial implications. You can get through a few rounds. I'm not too sure who comes in the next round. I don't know if it's a bit too soon for step one conference side.
Yeah, but, I think the next round in the FA Cup is just whoever's left from this round. So you've got a great chance to progress.
Well, this is it. But there's still lots of step four clubs, and you just never know. You, like with any FA Cup, get a little bit of luck. You never know how far you can go. But we're under no illusion. We've got a real, real tough game on Saturday, and it will be who wants it more on the day. We hope that they maybe come here and haven't done their homework and maybe take us a little bit lightly, and hopefully we can capitalise on it.
Yeah. How long have you and Jamie McClure been joint managers now?
Sorry, say that again, Tim.
How long have the two of you been joint managers now at the club?
So this will be our third season, fourth season. So we came in as assistant managers pre-COVID, alongside Roger Herridge, and then we took over the reins that the next season. Probably would have got promoted, but for COVID, sadly. And then obviously the next season ago, after that, we were going, we were looking like we were going to get promoted again. And obviously it got curtailed. Obviously the Vars competition stayed open, and we managed to get to Wembley. And then by luck, we fully deserved it. But obviously there was that, they did the points per game. And I think we were second in the whole of the country. So that got us promoted. And last season was our first season in Isthmian, and this is our second. And you know, we've learned a lot from last year and started the season well.
And if you learn a lot from each other as well, is that understanding and knowledge of each other's strengths grown in that time as well?
Yeah, I think it has. You know, when Jamie was obviously still a player when we come across, so it was very much, you know, on game match days he was a player, and that's how he wanted to do it, and I would do all the team talk and whatnot. But obviously this season, and probably towards the back end of last season, he stopped playing just through injuries or, you know, positions or performances with other people. And you know, we've really enjoyed it, and it worked. You know, he's probably the shouter on the sidelines, and I'm the calm one. But you know, when I need to shout, he'll calm me down, and it just works. You know, we're best mates, and you know, being able to do it with your best mate just is a pleasure.
And have you got to the stage yet where you finish each other's sentences?
There are times where he'll say something, and I find myself repeating it. But you know, they're few and far between. But no, generally we you know, we go in there with a plan, what we're going to say, and you know, generally, touch wood, it's worked to date.
It does seem to be working. What about the club? The FA Vars run was great to put the club on the map, and I know there was some works done to get you up to, you know, the stage that you need to be playing at now. Has it transferred to more hands on deck and more fans through the turnstiles as well?
Yeah, we have definitely noticed more fans coming through the gate. You know, we've noticed a few more fans coming away, which has been fantastic. You know, it's one thing we've probably lacked a little bit in terms of that support away from home, but we've picked up a few along the way, and you know, it does make a difference in games when you're going away from home and you've got fans cheering you. It kind of sometimes can get you over the line, and it's been brilliant for us. And there's a real buzz about the place on Saturday. I know that they're going to try and pack the place out as best they can, and kids, I think, can get in for free. So, you know, they'll be doing everything in their power to be our 12th man on the day, and hopefully it will help us get the victory.
Yeah, and early days in the league, but you had a decent season last term, your first in Step 4. Is the club looking to progress and build on that and go for promotion this term?
Absolutely. You know, they know our ambition. You know, the one thing that this club knows is that me and Dodds are very ambitious, and you know, we see ourselves managing for a long time and going up the ladders, and you know, we hope that will be with Binfield. You know, but at the end of the day, you can't get too ahead of yourselves. We've started the season well. There's a long way to go, a lot of games to be played, so you know, we'll stay grounded and we'll keep doing what we're doing, and hopefully we'll see where it takes us at the end of the season.
Yeah, lots of games to be played. FA Trophy, FA Cup, League. Any of those a priority, or you just take each game as it comes?
You leak your bread and butter. You know, you'd be a fool to say it isn't. You know, the FA Cup, you're never going to win it, but what you can get from FA Cup and FA Trophy is momentum. You know, you get for a couple of rounds, and it can do wonders for sides, and it certainly did it for us in that Vars run. So the league will always be our bread and butter, and both the FA Cup and Trophy are welcome distraction. But yeah, no, our focus will always, you know, we take it one game at a time, and it's nice to be in the competition, both competitions still financially for the club and for our lads. You know, some of them might not have experienced getting past, you know, so many rounds. So, you know, as a club, we're, you know, we're focused on the league, but at the same time, you know, these cup competitions are one that we look forward to and enjoy.
Yeah, well, certainly a club with momentum. Carl Withers, always a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for joining us on the Non-League Football Show, and good luck at the weekend.
No problem, Tim. Take care, mate.
Time to head on over once again to Non-League Paper Towers. Welcome back to the Non-League Show. Editor-at-large at the Non-League Paper, Mr. Matt Badcock. Welcome back, Matt.
Hi, Tim. How are you?
It's a stressful. I don't know. We record this on a Thursday. Thursdays seem to go a lot quicker than any other day in the rest of the week. I don't know. I'd imagine last weekend was quite stressful for you guys as well. I've got to heap much praise on all the team at Non-League Paper Towers, because when I spoke to John Couch last week on Thursday afternoon, news hadn't been confirmed about the Queen, nor the impact that it would have on the football calendar. But once again, the team at Non-League Paper Towers showed great resilience in putting out a very entertaining read at short notice of the complete match day calendar cancellation. So much praise, much appreciation from all who rely on you for our Sunday non-league intake. And indeed, last weekend, it was our weekend non-league intake.
Yeah, and I appreciate you saying. I can't take a huge amount of credit for it, because I was actually on a slightly ill-timed week off. Well, I did have to sort of jump back in and help guys get it out through the door on Saturday. It's kind of almost going back to, you know, COVID papers, where you have to fill a lot of space, but obviously in a short space of time. But you know, I know there's sort of different views on whether games should have been cancelled or not, but you know, it was what it was, and obviously it's a difficult time for the country, so we were able to get it out, and we're pleased to get the paper out on Sunday, and looking forward to the games being played this weekend.
Yeah, this week we've seen football return in a very respectful way, and no doubt that will be continued this weekend with minutes of silence, armbands, respectful remembrance gestures and all that. Much focus football-wise, though, is going to be on the FA Cup second qualifying round. It's a big names now entering in competition as the Step 2 clubs make their entrance. Makes it very exciting.
Yeah, it's, you say there's some big names, and there's some teams at Step 5 and Step 4 particularly, and Step 3 really looking for some scouts this weekend. You know, I think one that sort of leaps off the page is Literal City taking on Boston United, and to all the history that Boston have gotten, you know, what a big day that would be. But all over, there's going to, as we always say, there's going to be some shock somewhere. It's just where they are, and you know, it's exciting stage. It's still, what's the first round still feels quite a way off. It's kind of getting ever closer now, and only a few more rounds to get through to that promised land. So very exciting. It's the Step 2 clubs, as you say, all the Step 2 clubs starting on their journey, and seeing where it can take them as well.
And talking about starting on their journey, there's been plenty of people ending their journey this week. We record this Thursday afternoon, and we always have a little chat just before I push the red button. And you've just mentioned another bit of managerial news. I was going to run through all the managerial chops and changes, and as we hit the 8-game mark across many divisions, it's all got too much for many boards and many managers as well. John Sheridan, the latest that appears to be making his way from Oldham this weekekend.
Yeah, it's just, as you say, come out. It's been a week for managerial changes and departures. I'm never quite sure whether they're how linked everything is, but it always seems to be one of those things that people kind of say is once one goes, sort of lots more kind of topple. And but yeah, John Sheridan will be leaving Oldham actually after the game on Saturday, playing Eastleigh in the National League. And I kind of, in the club statement, they're kind of saying about wanting to kind of, you know, obviously a club legend, give him kind of the sort of the send off that they you know, that he probably deserves there for how, like, the club sort of status they hold him in. So on the pitch, hasn't been great since they come down. They've only won two of their first eight games, and that's a sort of slight fear that might be inevitable. It's not easy, as we know, coming down out of the EFL when you've been used to losing games, and you come into this division where you can get swallowed up pretty quickly in this sort of frantic opening period. And we've seen, you know, the big hitters have really started so strongly this year, which doesn't always happen. But this year, they, you know, Chesterfield, Wrexham, Notts County, Solihull really started well. Obviously, Boreham Wood, who fell away last year, flying as well. So it's yeah, relentless division. Obviously, Sheridan has been in it with Chesterfield before, and he would have known what he was coming into, but it's not quite happened there this season. It sounds like they're making a change to get their fortunes reversed a little bit and start climbing the table again.
Yeah, he's only eight games in as well. It's a sort of a, I think we, at the start of the season, we were talking about the 10 match mark. Now it's eight matches. You do wonder, you know, what long-term planning is going on at football clubs nowadays?
Yeah, it's the short term is getting ever shorter. You know, they say on their summer, new manager will be appointed in due course. So I was like, maybe they've already been kind of having to think about it. You know, as most clubs normally do. But yeah, it's not easy in football now. You don't get long. But I suppose they're already looking at it. They're 6 points kind of off the playoff places, which is a lot. But when you've only won two out of your eight, and drawn two, and you've got 8 points from eight, you know, something's got to change quite quickly. You know, you can see they only scored seven goals as well. So there's obviously things to address there. And all the time while you're not kind of looking at that, and you know, your competitors are kind of running off, and the season can very quickly get away from you. So that's, I guess, what they're trying to avoid. You know, it's still very early days, and it's quite compact, but it will soon start stringing out.
Yeah, and as you say about, you know, I think last week we spoke to John Cash. We said, gone are the days where you'd wait weeks for the reappointment of a new manager following the departure of another one. It does all seem to sort of flow. And I know we talk about the non-league family and everybody talking to one another, but it does almost seem a little bit out of control at the moment. I mean, we've spoken most weeks about the poor start by Weymouth this season, and that was reflected midweek this week with the departure of David Oldfield as manager there, followed by his assistant, Tom Donati. But then there was the appointment on Thursday morning, as we're speaking, of former Bracknell boss Bobby Wilkinson, who in turn had apparently resigned from the Robins on Thursday, but it wasn't made known until after the weekend. It's lots to keep up with, but it does seem to be that this conversation's been going on behind the scenes, potentially.
Yeah, I think if you're at a football club, they should always kind of know. I just think you should always know where you want to go next anyway, because you never know when your manager might get plucked himself. So, you know, that is obviously not, you know, seen with Scunthorpe, they've moved on from Keith Hill and they've still not made an appointment. And obviously Dulwich this week with Kevin Rose, leaving after all these years and all this success there, and they've got interim with Paul Barnes going in as interim manager for now. But, you know, so lots of clubs have their own sort of different ways of doing it. And I think Bobby Wilkinson, kind of what he's achieved and the promotions he's had at, obviously with Hungerford, and he did well at Wilson when he was there, and also Bracknell and how they won the league last year, is going to be on a lot of shortlists, I would imagine. You know, kind of sometimes you've got to sweep quickly before to get your man. So he'll be going in there, not an easy position to be taken on. Obviously, losing lots of football matches, of say the least, for, you know, getting relegated from the league last year, and they haven't won at all this season. Just drawn two games. Actually, spoke to somebody who saw them the other night against Bath, and said they're actually pretty good. You know, during the game, throughout the game, but just didn't quite happen for them. Maybe things just haven't been running for them. And David Oldfield, you know, he was doing an excellent job at Oxford City, and made the decision to leave there last season and go to Weymouth and kind of take on that challenge of trying to keep him up, and it's just not quite happened. So Bobby Wilkinson, with his kind of personality and, you know, how he sort of, the impact he has on the squads and how he puts together teams that, you know, succeed and do well, will be going to look into to replicate that model.
Yeah, and you mentioned Gavin Rae's going at Dulwich as well, and I mentioned the interim there. Old friend of the show, Paul Barnes, has been given the interim job there to steady the ship. And he's a well-respected coach, a guy going really well with across non-league. But I can see the fans already questioning the appointment of a man who, to be fair, has struggled in getting results in management at steps 4 and 5 in recent seasons.
Yeah, well, I guess it's pretty a shock to them that Gavin Rose has kind of left. He's been that sort of ever present for, you know, in that as a club who's sort of grown as much as they have in the way they have in the last few years. Gavin Rose has been sort of kind of at the helm of that, and the success that they've had, and the players that, you know, one of the biggest success stories in non-league in recent years, you know, the players that they've produced there and where they've gone on to, you know, even Pinnock playing in the Premier League, George Elokobi was there as well, wasn't I think. You know, they went on playing in the Prem, the sort of record of producing players to go into the Football League is fantastic. And see, Gavin Rose and his management staff have been at the forefront of that, and they obviously won a couple of promotions as well, seeing the crowds grow. And it is one of those jobs that lots of people will, you know, will really, really appeal to a lot of managers. But, you know, maybe they just need that little bit of time to steady the ship now to make sure they get the right appointment in. You know, they've obviously got big ambitions there to get into step one, and they'll be keen to make that right appointment. But it's difficult, isn't it, for coming in as an interim, because there's always going to be those kind of question marks around what's happening, how long is it going to be, is this your first game, your last game, how, you know, I think we might see that for Warrington Ryan as well, Jodie Bannum's gone in there as caretaker, so Dave McNabb left, you know, is it kind of his chance to try and win the job and all this kind of thing. So it will be interesting how it all plays out, but I guess as a manager you've got to block out all that noise around you and just focus on setting the team up on a Saturday. I actually spoke to Craig Elliott this week, who's just gone in at Matlock and had his sort of success at
Shaw Lane, and he did well at Boston, got them into the playoffs before leaving there at the start of the year. And sort of kind of saying, you're joking about how mad you are to sort of go back into management, really. It's kind of not an easy, so I was just saying, it's completely unique kind of role to be in non-league management, you know, around sort of often your day job and everything else that's going on, but it's sort of like you bizarrely unique sort of pressured environment where, you know, there's lots of eyes on you and what you're doing and how and whether you're getting success, and I kind of think they're all a bit mad to do it, but I think it's something in their blood, isn't it? And that's why they all keep coming back for more.
Yeah, it's it is a results business, of course, as well, and the adrenaline business as well. I mean, you see so many players that miss the dressing room that then go into management, and the managers can't do without it either. You know, that Dave McNabb had done so well up at Warrington Rylands with the Vars, multiple promotions, 4.5 seasons there. He's now looking. A Saturday off, which must be a really weird thing for a manager to be looking at. And, as you say, there's a number of other managers tumbling, and I'm sure there will be more in the week ahead as well. You mentioned earlier on when we were talking about John Sheridan about the National League table, you've got that look of Chesterfield, Wrexham, Notts County, Solihull, Moors, Boreham Wood as, you know, maybe a top five that many might have predicted at the start of the season. County and Chesterfield are still unbeaten, though, and many would have seen them as difficult to beat at the start of the season. And I think Paul Cook's Chesterfield went down to 10 men midweek, but still secured the 3-2 win over Southend. And that's the sort of results that will keep you in the title race come the end of the season.
Yeah, it's that sort of result that also just spreads confidence throughout the squad, but also among the supporters, that kind of we can overcome obstacles when they're thrown at us, and sort of what a resilient kind of side that they've got there. And it has been a great start. You know, one of their draws came on the opening day of the season as well, when they went down 10 men against Dorking when they were in front, and Paul Cook wasn't too happy about them letting those points slip. But a fantastic start. A couple of weeks ago, they all went out and sort of hit fives, didn't they? And so, you know, they all kind of hit that form early on, looking strong early on. You know, seeing Solihull Moors come back from 3 down against Scunthorpe to win, and that those sort of, as I say, those results and those performances just kind of inspire confidence throughout, and kind of make you feel like you can overcome. Come anything. And it's interesting with Notts County this year, kind of almost in a really bizarre way, kind of it feels like it's going under the radar a little bit, even though they've not lost. You've got some, you know, they didn't, I think, but what it was maybe is their sort of summer recruitment was very meticulous, and there was no sort of like big name signings coming down. You know, obviously like last year they had Harry Arter come down alone for a bit, things were like Forest and that kind of thing, where they went down as a National League North, went and picked up players like McCauley Langstaff, who started absolutely on fire, Kedwin Scott from Gateshead, who both scored a lot of goals for the Heat last year as they won promotion. They got Sam Austin from Kiddy, and they kind of went that sort of route. And it kind of almost like everyone's talking, and because of everything, the high profile nature of Wrexham, people are almost sort of focusing on that. Chesterfield, fantastic start, and you know, talking about Shamanga and him coming back from injury. Just there seems to be that much more sort of focus on. I mean, I know it sort of sounds weird to say, and I'm sure in Nottingham that's not the case. There's where, you know, lots of high hopes and expectation, but it almost seems to suit them a little bit that they can kind of let everybody else, people chat about everybody else, and they can kind of almost just go under the radar a little bit.
No league action step two this week, but King's Lynn still unbeaten, top of the National North, and another win midweek. And in the South, we've got Ebbsfleet, Havant and Worthing still remaining unbeaten. But again, cup action this weekend, and just a handful of games at step three, with clubs already out of the FA Cup, pairing up to maybe get some games out of the way early on. So lots of FA Cup action this weekend. Managerial movements to be reporting on. I'm sure plenty of other stuff to be reading about in this weekend's paper. Can you tee any of those up for us, Matt?
Well, it does feel like a bit of a managerial pages this week. So we've got all that covered. Also caught up with Steve Burr, who's had sort of
come out of first team management, been assistant at Hereford. He's come back in as a first team manager, as a first team number one, sorry, at Hensford Town, a club that he had a lot of success at as a player. And I think he said they paid about 15, 20 grand for him when he was banging the goals in back in the day for Macclesfield. So talk of him going back there and kind of why he's decided to sort of, again, take that slightly odd decision to jump back into the, I think as he put it, my seat's a bit hotter than it was this time last week. So he's going down that route. Hoping to speak to, as you said, mentioned about Edge Fleet and their unbelievable start. 8 wins from 8. You know, pretty perfect. Hopes he's speaking to Dennis Kutrib, manager for this week as well. You know, they've... sort of, if you're going to bounce back from a disappointment of a promotion final defeat, as they are, you know, they sort of went right down to the wire in that game against Dorking, and Dorking equalised on late, and then won in extra time, and it just kind of shows, you know, sometimes you see teams and it doesn't quite go, you know, that hangover, that sort of cliched hangovers there, but absolutely completely blown that out of the water. So speaking to them, also got spoken to Harbour Town, but here made their FA Trophy debut in midweek, obviously all those games being pushed back to the sort of Tuesdays and Wednesday nights from last weekend, and looking ahead in the trophy because that comes around next week, and the Vards is back next week as well, so we've got a preview of that. So there's plenty going on, plus all the managerial changes and all the live action that we've got on Saturday of FA Cup taking centre stage.
Oh, well, it certainly sounds like an issue to look forward to. Matt Badcock of the Non-League Paper, thanks for joining us, and we look forward to reading the paper on Sunday.
Thanks, Tim. Take care.
And that then is it for this week. Thanks as ever to all of my guests. Good luck to all involved in the FA Cup this weekend. A big thank you to everybody for listening to, and don't forget to tell your friends, share the pod, every little helps, as someone once said. You can, of course, follow us throughout the season and join in throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show, myself there at Tim Fuel, F-U-E-L-L, and as ever, find us every week on Audio Boom, on Apple Podcasts, also Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, CastBox, iHeart, Geo7, Listen Notes, Overcast, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Radio Republic, via your smart speakers, and all good podcast aggregation sites. Stay safe. Thank you and goodbye.
Jabber Production, J-I-B-B-A, J-A-B-B-A.